Imagine what it would feel like getting tackled head-on by a 240-pound linebacker. You'd be in serious pain, right? But if you're unbuckled in a car crash at just 50 miles an hour, you become a deadly projectile that can slam into other passengers with 8 times that amount of force. Don't let someone else take the hit. Buckle up and visit buckleup.ohio.gov to learn more. Brought to you by ODOT and ODPS.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Quade Cooper, Matt Giteau, David Pocock, and those are guys that not only got to learn a lot from, but when I would look across and see them in the change rooms with me, I felt we were always a chance of doing well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, we'll hear from Newcastle boss Eddie Howe ahead of what should be a fiery game against champions Liverpool at St James's Park tonight. We'll have the fallout from yesterday's action in the Premier League, with Manchester United still waiting on a first win of the season. And how will the Ireland squad shape up when it's named tomorrow for the first two World Cup qualifiers next month? But first to events in Newcastle tonight. Liverpool's first away game of the season is against a club they've been locked in a transfer saga with all summer. Alexander Isak, who wants out of Newcastle, definitely won't play. But the big question is, will he still be a Newcastle player when the transfer window closes next week? Newcastle rejected a bid of £110 million from Liverpool earlier this month, and the Sweden striker has been training away from his teammates. He said in a statement last week his relationship with Newcastle can't continue. Eddie Howe confirmed in his press conference on Friday Isak won't be involved, which will only add to the atmosphere. Right back could be an issue for Liverpool tonight. Jeremy Frimpong is out injured. Conor Bradley only returned to training last week, and Joe Gomez doesn't have a full game in him, so Arne Slot may be forced to go with someone like Curtis Jones or Ataro Endo at right back. The Liverpool boss does have midfielder Ryan Gravenberch back from suspension though, and Alexis McAllister could be handed his first start of the season after he came off the bench against Bournemouth. New signing Jacob Ramsey's in line to make his debut for Newcastle after his move from Aston Villa. Howe has yet to bring in a recognised striker since Callum Wilson joined West Ham, and obviously there's no Isak at the moment. Against Villa last week, Anthony Gordon led the line. Anthony Elanga and Harvey Barnes were on either side of him. Arne Slot says Newcastle have plenty of threats even without Isak.
I assume, I'm not sure, but I assume Isak is not playing from what I read in the media. But they still have Anthony Gordon as a nine. They still have Elanga as a left winger, a right winger, sorry, and Barnes from the left. And then this is the Premier League. We all have a lot of options, and Newcastle have them as well.
In the cauldron of St James's Park, Eddie Howe is expecting an electric atmosphere.
I've got no doubt this will be a really passionate display from the home support. We need to harness that, use it, but not be reckless with it.
Kickoff in that game is 8 o'clock. You can follow all the build-up and off the ball from 7 o'clock. On the Go Loud app or on News Talk. Now to yesterday's action. Manchester United are still waiting for that first league win of the season. They were held to a 1-1 draw by Fulham at Craven Cottage. Bruno Fernandes missed a first half penalty. Mateus Cunha also went close in that first 45 minutes. United went ahead in the second half when a Lenny Yarrow header deflected in off Fulham striker Rodrigo Muniz. But Emile Smith-Rowe equalised for Fulham with his first touch after he came off the bench. Amorim says his new forward line will soon be firing.
We are going to score goals because we are creating so many chances, and that is the most important thing, and then we just have to move on.
Fulham boss Marco Silva admitted United dominated the first part of the match, but he felt his side worked them out after a while.
Apart from the first 20 minutes where Man United started better than us, and we have to be fair enough, and it's easy to say that they started better. We had some problems to defending behind. Their more direct game created some problems for us. We lost most of the duels, individual duels, in that first 20 minutes of the game, and they started better than us. They created two great chances from with Mateus. We had one very good one from Josh King as well, 1v1 with the goalkeeper, but they were better than us. I think from that moment we start to build our attack the way we like to do it. We realized where the spaces were in that moment, and from that moment we didn't give no more chance for Man United to press us either, like they prepared to come.
Next up for United is a trip to Grimsby in the League Cup on Wednesday night. United may have another goalkeeper on their books by then. Belgian goalkeeper Senna Lammens looks set to swap Antwerp for Manchester. He was left out of Royal Antwerp's game over the weekend. Nottingham Forest boss Nuno Espirito Santo insists he is committed to the club. He was in the dugout as usual for yesterday's 1-1 draw away to Crystal Palace. Callum Hudson-Odoi equalised for Forest in the second half after Ismaïl Assar had put the Eagles ahead. Nuno revealed in the build-up to the game his relationship with owner Evangelos Marinakis is not in a good place, but the Portuguese is confident of a positive outcome.
Of course, the situation has to be solved, and we are responsible persons. We're going to have a good conversation to try to create more than anything, a good platform for what is more important, the team.
Speaking of Marinakis, the English FA will investigate a banner displayed by Crystal Palace fans showing the Forest owner holding a gun to the head of midfielder Morgan Gibbs-White. The banner wasn't shown during Sky Sports UK broadcast of the match. There was needle in the build-up to this game anyway because Forest took Crystal Palace's place in the Europa League. Palace boss Oliver Glasner said events outside of the pitch don't affect his players. He said he and his team were focused on the tactical side of the match.
We never talk about what's going on around us, because we have no influence on it. What we can influence is our performance, what we want to do on the pitch, and I think today, especially in the second half, we lost the balls too easily in our attack. That means the pressure increased of Nottingham. We played a little bit too complicated in their half, and not using our wingbacks enough how we did in the first half, 3-4 times, and then we scored the goals from this. We had a few set plays in the second half. We played a little bit too complicated, but this very often happens when you get fatigue.
Everton manager David Moyes says he's pleased his decision to allow Jack Grealish to attack against Brighton paid off in their 2-0 win at the brand new Hill Dickinson Stadium. The on-loan Manchester City winger set up the goals for Illiman Ndiaye and James Garner. Moyes says Grealish brings something extra.
He sort of retained the ball for us as well, which gave us a little bit more composure at different times. But his assist, especially the first one, was a little bit more what you're hoping from him, and I hope he's got more of them to come.
On the Sunday kickback, Brian Kerr told Jonathan Higgins Grealish still has lots of ability to impress.
I think they'd be delighted at his contribution. He got on the other night, but didn't that really have a major influence on the game? I think it was quite of an hour into the second half. I thought, you know, this is the occasion, put him in, start him on. I thought he responded to that, played really well. Brilliant piece of play in the first goal. Still had a bit of pace and acceleration to beat Weaver, playing right back for Brighton, and lashed across the ball, across that 6-yard box, and Doi hammered her in at the far post. Great goal, and had a little involvement in the second goal. Set up the pass for Garner to hit a first time. The weight on that pass was important, because if it was a little bit harder, he might have had to take a touch. A little bit slower, he might have had to take a touch. But when it was just easing across the angle of the penalty area from left to right, it allowed him to come on and just smack it and drilled it low into the corner. I thought the goalkeeper, Van Bruggen, might have done better, but in fairness, Van Hecke was blocking him, and didn't see it. It was a great goal, but I think Grealish defended well, worked hard in the game, was controlled in possession, no messing from him, no silly stuff from him, and played the game in the right way today, and sure he gained a bit of confidence from it, and he'd be delighted to be in a hard working, honest team, and that he played a real part in the bits that matter, the goals especially.
After that 2-0 loss, Brighton boss Fabian Hertzler said his side missed too many chances, which also included Danny Welbeck missing a penalty.
If you score the goals, we won't have this discussion. So I think we created so many chances, and not only chances, I think there were big chances. And that's something I wouldn't say because I think it only would be an excuse if we say that we missed the striker, or that we had not enough offensive opportunities to change. So overall, we created enough to win this game. We had enough chances to score. So I think that's the main thing to take away, no matter how many options we had.
Imagine what it would feel like getting tackled head-on by a 240-pound linebacker. You'd be in serious pain, right? But if you're unbuckled in a car crash, At just 50 miles an hour, you become a deadly projectile that can slam into other passengers with 8 times that amount of force. Don't let someone else take the hit. Buckle up and visit buckleup.ohio.gov to learn more. Brought to you by ODOT and ODPS.
The John Giles era with Off the Ball has come to an emotional end.
Off the Ball wouldn't exist the way it does without the existence of John Giles.
Helped by a plethora of John's friends and family within and without football, we pay tribute to the great man in front of a selected audience.
So we are here tonight to celebrate not just the impact John has had on Off the Ball over the last 20 years or so, but really the unrivaled impact that he's had on Irish football going back 70 years.
This week in the OTB football feed, look out for the full John Giles tribute night.
If we didn't say John was the best player I've ever played with, he would tell you why he was.
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
We speak to John himself about his 7 decades in football, former Leeds teammates Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan, plus tributes from Liam Brady, Brian Kerr and many more.
As you say, it's what, 20 odd?
23 years.
20 years. Well, they did well to put up with me for 20 years.
Released in 3 parts, we'll drop the first part of the John Giles tribute night on Tuesday morning. And to mark the occasion, it will be available for free for a limited time only. The John Giles tribute, only available in your OTB football feed.
Arsenal winger Bukayo Saka is set to miss up to 4 weeks due to a hamstring injury. The England international went off in the first half of Saturday's win against Leeds, and he won't be back until after the international break. Arsenal captain Martin Odegaard is also a doubt for Sunday's game away to Liverpool due to a shoulder injury he suffered in that game against Leeds. Meanwhile, Arsenal are interested in signing Bayer Leverkusen defender Piero Hincapié. The Ecuador international has a €60 million release clause. He's keen to leave the German club before the transfer window closes. The 23-year-old has also been linked with the move to Arsenal's North London rivals Tottenham. New Rangers boss Russell Martin says they need players that are committed to the club. Rangers drew 1-1 the way to St Mirren in the Scottish Premiership yesterday to make it 3 draws from 3 in the league this season. They're already 6 points behind Celtic, who they play at Ibrox next Sunday. Substitute striker Hamza Igaman, who's been linked with a move away, claimed he was injured and refused to come on in the second half. Martin says the upcoming transfer deadline is proving to be a distraction. Both Celtic and Rangers have Champions League playoffs to come before Sunday's derby. Celtic will land in Almaty today for the second leg of their tie, which is scoreless. And with the Ireland squad set to be named tomorrow for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers at home to Hungary and away to Armenia, former Ireland international Keith Tracy joined Richie McCormack on the Sunday kickback, and he feels that Wrexham's James McLean could come back into the squad.
Ireland squad announced for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers, the first two of them. This week, are you looking at any bolters? Are you looking for any surprises?
Well, I think the fact that they're competitive games, it has to be a team that we... It's not set in stone. James McLean might come back in. I'm hearing rumours. I know Robbie Brady is injured. We're desperate for the left-back. Manning has done quite well the last couple of games. I don't know. I think it's brilliant Devin Ferguson doing so well for Roma. I know he didn't score yesterday against Bologna, but the reports and from what I've seen, he done quite well within the game. Troy Parra has scored goals for AZ Alkmaar already in the European playoffs. So there is little green shoots. Josh Cullen scoring a goal and assist. And if he can do that in an Ireland jersey, we're starting to get the bones of something that can come together. Defensively is where I have question marks over this Irish team. And I'm sick to the back teeth of people telling me, defensively, we're brilliant. We've got Premier League class defenders with Jake O'Brien, Nathan Collins, one or two others. Well, then let's start keeping clean sheets. If we keep 2 clean sheets over the next 2 games, we're giving ourselves a real chance to go and win the 2 games. And you know, I don't want to put everything into the first 2 games, but if we don't be hungry at home and we don't go away to Armenia and get 6 points, we're probably already out of it in terms of what we want to do in the group. So big couple of weeks coming up for you.
That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.